Okay. Welcome. Good everybody out tonight. Matt Wilson's going to have an opening prayer for us.
Father, come before you now to open up this study time. Thank you for allowing us to come here and study your word and your will for us. As you please bless all of us. Let's help Jim. Help him to read this study. Help us to learn. Help us to all take what we talk about here out. Use it in our lives to be better parents, better Christians as well. Lord, we thank you so much for all the blessings that we have, for the children that you blessed us with, for our families, for the friendships that we have, the relationships that we have here at West End. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us, and the example that we read about in your word. Ask you please help us be more like him every day. Pray all these things in his name. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so just so you know, on Sunday morning, we will be going to Lesson 6, which is something like 2,000 channels and nothing to watch, or something like, yeah, over 200 channels and nothing to watch. And it's about Bible study. That's Lesson 6. I think it's noted as Lesson 7. That was my fault. My apologies. But it's over 200 channels available and nothing to watch. That will be Sunday morning and next Wednesday night. Tonight, we are going to continue with What the World Needs Now, and we are talking about love. If you look at the handout that David had, he referred to 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, and all the things that love is and it's not. We're going to do a little exercise here in a minute, and we've got, here's these other two as well. Here's one of the things I want to start with, and it's on the handout that I gave you that is from some of the notes that David provided to me. But so let's say, for example, one of the things he's got on here that we did last time in class, and I think it's a good exercise, love is always, and love is never. So, fill in the blank. Love is always what?
Loyal.
What?
Loyal.
Loyal. I like that one.
Patient.
Patient. I like that one. I'm not going to say that every time, but I'm sure I like them all.
Honest.
You don't like it. Jim doesn't like them all.
Considerate.
Considerate.
Never failing.
Never failing.
Committed.
Kind.
Forgiving.
Endures all things.
Endures. Yes. Okay. From a very personal standpoint, how does it feel to you? I mean, these are all great.
Putting somebody before yourself.
What's that?
Putting someone else before yourself.
we can come back to that if we've got some more to add to it. Love is never what?
Selfish.
Antagonizing.
Oof. A-N-T-A-G. Spelling that word is antagonizing. T-A-G.
O-N-I-Z.
Okay. Yeah, if you bring words like that, you might have failed spell them. Okay. Did you have one, Matt?
No, I don't think.
Okay, you're just thinking.
I'm scratching my head.
I got you. What is love never? I'm going to add one. Hateful. That's pretty obvious, right? But still.
Does it hold grudges?
Does not hold grudges.
Jealous.
Jealous. What?
I was going to say something, but sorry.
You know, I'm going to put one here, self-centered, and it's a little bit like that one, but
greedy.
Greedy.
Never fails.
Say it again.
Never fails.
Never fails. Love is never, never fails. Love is never uncommitted. I kind of get what you're... Okay. Say it again.
Ends, like E-N-E-S-N, like never ends. That's what, it has failed and then ends.
So okay. Love never ends. Fails. Okay. Anything else for either one of these sides?
Love is always a reflection of Christ.
Reflection of Christ. Okay. Anything else? Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab your Bible, and I want you to turn to 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 21. I want us to read that together, and then I want us to look at that. And then we're going to get into some more exercise stuff as well. That's really important. Because we can read about it, and we can see it, and talk about it, but we need to think about how it gets applied. You know, that's the beginning of what this is all of this stuff. I want to take a picture of that, so I will have it. First John, 4th chapter. In verses 7 through 21. So before I get into reading this, what is God? God is love. So, I mean, that sounds like a really simple thing, but it's also very comprehensive in the way that we think about it. And, you know, the relationship we have with God is very much a two-way relationship in the way that love is shared. Y'all agree with that? Agree with the shared love between us and God? And so, should we have any expectation of God as our Creator? Should we?
Yeah.
What do you think? So if we do have an expectation of him, what would it be, Dave?
Well, the things that he tells us he'll do for us.
Okay.
If we ask for it. If we hold up our part of the bargain, he's going to hold up his part. Because he said he would.
So, but is it the things that he says he'll do for us, are they things we will earn? Can we earn?
No.
Right. No, that's not what you mean. I understand.
Right.
Yeah. John?
I think what he's trying to say is the one thing that we have to expect is that God is honest and that God cannot lie, because the things that he's told us are all based on that.
At the end of the day, God's going to do what he says he's going to do. Always, every time. That's one thing you can count on. That's one thing we can count on with regard to his love. About everything that he's told us, Brian?
That's kind of one of the tenets of Christianity. He wants us to desire to have expectations of him. He wants us to bring our weaknesses and our concerns and our desires to him, to expect him to carry that load for us. Help us carry it.
Right. So what about our love for him? That's part of how that manifests. What's the expectations that he should have of us? I said, what are the expectations we have of him? So what are the expectations that he should have of us if we love him?
Obedience.
Everything he tells us in his word.
Everything he tells us in his word.
All of the things in the
world. Right. Yeah, really. That's right. So, so how do we really do with that on a day-to-day basis? And how do we get ourselves in a mental, physical, and emotional place to do the very best we can with that? How do we accomplish that on a daily basis? John?
One thing that helps me is if there's a drastic difference in my mindset and the things that I think about through the day if the first thing I do in the morning is check my phone and then eat breakfast and then go to work, versus me waking up abstaining from looking at those things, and the first thing I do is shower and then read the Bible while I'm eating. And it changes my whole outlook on the entire day.
Yeah.
And because I'm thinking about those things through the morning and how I can apply those kinds of things. And just for me, things I do too is I put scriptures in different places so that I see them throughout the day and remember.
Everybody hear all that? It's just how you get your day started and what you do to make sure that you're reminded of those things during the course of the day. Because it's so easy to get sidetracked. It's so easy to get sidetracked by everything else. And this love relationship that God has for us and we have for God, and the way it manifests itself, is critical to our success as parents. And the kind of example that we are for our kids. And the way that we try and get them to develop the same kinds of habits in their lives. To understand what love for God looks like and what he has done for us. Everybody agree with that? So, when we're talking about love, what we've really got to be concerned about is understanding what God's done for us, the great sacrifice that has been made by Jesus Christ, how his love was manifest in the plan of salvation. And then how our lives are to reflect appreciation for that and our desire to be obedient on a day-to-day basis so that God knows of our appreciation for what he's done for us through our actions every day, through our mindset every day, through the way that we go about trying to represent him in this world. Because is that not another one of those responsibilities that we have for him? A representation of him in this world? And the question is, do people see that in our lives? So, let's read 1 John 4, 7 through 21. Anybody want to read that? Paul.
1 John 4, Matt.
Yes.
7 through 21.
Yes, sir. And what version do you have?
The NIV.
That's good.
All right. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Woo! That's a bunch! That is a lot. So tell me what you get from that. What do you get out of that? What's the first thing he starts with in 7 there?
To love one another.
Love.
The source of love.
Okay. Yeah.
So God, love comes from God.
Yeah, God is the source of love, but he also says that we are to love one another. So the source of love is God. God is love, and we're to love one another.
Well, it goes back to you're loving one another. God is the source of love. You're supposed to show God through your actions.
So. Right. And who does that mean we're supposed to love? With regard with the source of love, God. Who are we supposed to love?
Everyone.
Everybody. But there's also other scriptures that say that there's folks we're supposed to give preference to, like Galatians 6:10. Who are we supposed to give preference to of those that we, of loving everyone? Somebody look at Galatians 6:10. We're supposed to prefer
other Christians.
Yeah, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith.
You know.
What do we do? I mean, so we're supposed to love everyone. How does that manifest itself? We show love toward everybody else. How does that manifest itself?
By wanting to spread the gospel with everyone.
Spread the gospel? Absolutely. What else? You ever have people you deal with that you don't really enjoy dealing with? Huh?
Yes.
I can't be the only one in the room. Take a deep breath here. But what are we supposed to do?
Show them love.
We're supposed to show them love. That's right, because that's supposed to be the source of love being shown through us. That's the other part of what this scripture we just read talks about. So that even if people treat us in an unloving way, they see something different in us. Okay. Verse 7 is loves of God, and everyone who loves God, love is born of God and knows God. So, you know, the way I think about that too is if I try and take that on and make that part of who I am in the way that I think and live, and it's not always easy, it helps me better understand what God does for all of us. with regard to how he puts up with me and my shortcomings, how I fall short, how I don't always get it done like I should. Yes.
I love how John, throughout 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he says this very common phrase every single time. He says, this is how we dot, dot, dot. This is how we know. This is how God showed his love. This is how we know that we live in him. This is the proof. This is the proof that what God has done for us. And this is how we know that God loved us, because of his actions.
Yeah.
And so there's a connection there of action, love, as a verb in an action sense of how that's manifested. And you see that right after what you're about to talk about is God sent his son, and that was how he showed his love.
Yeah.
Making us complete is what it says.
Yeah. You know, and I think about that too. That's one of the things I've thought a lot about here in recent time, and that is just Christ in heaven with God comes down to live as a man, to live a physical life, to be in a physical form, in a human form as deity. That's love. That's love for what was done through God and by him. And what have I ever done to express that kind of love? I mean, I can't do that, of course. But what ways can I show the kind of love that God showed, that Christ showed? That's a really big question for me. That's a really big question. It's not any really big thing. It's a lot of little things. Jeff?
Well, you say that, but God could have created billions of just mindless robots that bow before him and worship him and hallelujah.
Right.
No, but he created us of our own will. And so when we do love him like that, I mean, you know, I'm sure he really appreciates it. And if you think about it, there's so many that don't, you know.
It's true.
And so when we do, I know he loves it. He feels it. You know?
Yeah. When we let our character reflect the things that he tells us we're supposed to do.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But that's why I say it's a lot of small things as opposed to any big thing that I can do with regard to what that love looks like. In 9 it says, in this love, and I've got the New King James Version, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, live eternally through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Again, talking about the love that we're supposed to have for one another. No one has seen God at any time. If you love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected and made complete in us. So again, I think we look for big things to do, and it's not. I think it's a lot of little things that God has an expectation of us of every day to stay centered on what we really need to focus on. And as I think about what he says, I mean, it's like you say, Matt, he does a really good job of saying, you know, this is how you know. In 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit through his word. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So it's that connection that we make with God through our obedience, through the sacrifice that Christ made, that manifests the love in our actions every day. Love has been perfected, it says in verse 17, perfected among us in that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You know, the assurance that we're given of salvation, if we're faithful, if we do what God says that we're supposed to do, We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? This commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So, you know, it's the origination of love. It's the love that was shown to us in the sacrifice of Christ. It's the character that we're supposed to have as part of our love. But it's the love that I'm supposed to have with Matt and John and everybody else, plus the guy that lives next door across the street, and the way they hopefully see God reflected in my life, to have an opportunity to represent him in this world. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm God's representative while I'm breathing. And again, I don't think I really embraced or understood that like I needed to and should have for a lot of years. I hope y'all get it. I hope y'all understand it better now than I did when I was your age. But it's something you have to personally decide you want to own. You got to figure out how it's manifesting your life every day. And to John's point, you got to figure out how you make that happen on a day-to-day basis. Because you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. So the question is, a little exercise sheet we have here. What the world needs now, and there are six questions. And I want you to look at that for a minute. And as you think about all these things that we're talking about, the relationship between us and God, us and Christ, Christ and God, how do your kids know that you love them? How do your kids know that you love them? Write it down. How do your kids know that you love God? What daily actions between you and your children will help them know God loves them? What actions can make your kids think you don't love them? What actions can make your kids think you don't love God? What inactions can cause your children to think you don't love them or God? Other notes from what other people say. I want you to take about 5 minutes, and I want you to write some stuff down right now. You can go back and work on it more later if you want to. And you can talk with your spouse if they are here with you. It's no problem. You go ahead and do that. I'm going to put the clock on it here. I'll put a timer on because I want to talk about this a little bit. Okay? Talk amongst yourselves. Recorder doesn't go off if it doesn't hear noise.
Is that off the timer?
Huh? It's off timer, that's right. about 2 minutes. Under a minute. Okay, I want to read you real quick just a little summary comment that I made. I've got it on the sheet. It's at the bottom of page 2 there. I've got V18 through 21. It's point 12. And I think it's a really good point, and it kind of goes partly to what Matt said too. Fundamentally, first we must understand that love and God are inseparable. God is the source of love. God is love, and we are only made complete by being in God and God in us. If we achieve this, we have nothing to fear of this world. We become more complete in how we approach life, and our lives are more pure and easy to navigate. True love, God in us, is manifest in how we feel, like, live toward, and with one another every day, all the time. But it's being able to accomplish that on a consistent basis. That's where the therein lies the challenge. And Satan is going to work on you every day. And it doesn't make any difference where you are in your life. Things might be great. Things might not be great. You might have been a Christian for a short period of time. You might have been a Christian for a long period of time. Satan's still going to work on you. That's where we've got to know that God is more powerful than Satan. Has always been, will always be. We just can't give him any power in our lives. We've got to rely on the source of God's power, love, and how we're able to deal with everything that comes down the pike. Okay, give me some answers to some of these questions. How do your kids know you love them?
You tell them.
How do you do that, John?
You say verbally, love you.
Do you just say, I love you.
Oh, you mean it.
Sir?
You mean it.
How do you mean it?
Your actions.
Huh?
Your actions.
So words are one thing, right? But expression's another thing, right? Matt?
I totally agree with John. Just telling your kids you love them is incredibly important. I mean, not just action, but just telling them. Also showing them affection, I think, probably goes in with that idea as well. And that's a big point with a dad. This is just my thought on this. A dad to a son.
Okay.
Boys are usually not more affectionate than girls, usually. Boys have to have that void filled by a male person or they will find it with somebody else.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So the dad has to fill that role in a male, in the son. Because if he doesn't, it will be filled by somebody else.
Tell him and show him affection.
Absolutely.
Don't agree. Don't disagree. Don't disagree at all. What else? No?
Being present with them, putting down the phone, and whenever you talk to them, look at them.
Being present with them, she said. Putting down your phone. When you talk to them, look at them. Eye contact. I love eye contact. So important. It is. Do you know how it is?
Even an awkward eye contact?
Well, you know, I was exaggerating. Okay. But you know what I mean. I mean, you know if somebody's engaged with you. Do you think a kid knows that? Do you think they know you're engaged or disengaged with them? I guarantee you they do. And so if you have a problem with the TV being on while you're trying to communicate with your child, turn the TV off. That's personal experience. Because that TV's on. Only time she said anything, and I heard some rattling when she shook her head up and down. So if she's gonna do me that way, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Love
I apologize in front of everybody. Love that rates, right. So what else? What else do you do, John?
I thought of the five love languages. So they're not entirely, it's physical touch, quality time, gift giving, two other things.
Affirmation,
and one other thing.
Acts of service.
Acts of service, that's right. Those five things. So
teamwork.
I think each kid's going to feel love differently depending on on their personality and everything.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
You could tell them you love them all day, but they might not understand it until you actually spend time with them or, give them a hug or whatever.
So. Right. Very good. What else? Anything else? I mean, I know there's others. Noah?
Taking time to know them as an individual. One of the greatest shocks to me was when my dad listed off my favorite colors in order. And that was like, that was huge to me. That was so mind-blowing. And that was a moment that's like, wow, he actually knows me.
Taking time to know them individually. That's real good. What else? Anything else there?
Have like a sense of security, so being able to provide for them and then being able to protect them.
Sense of security. Provide, protect. A kid needs to feel safe.
Kids think their parents are superheroes.
What's that?
Kids think their parents are superheroes.
Oh, absolutely.
Their parents are completely indestructible.
Until they prove them wrong. Okay, number two. How do your kids know that you love God?
Put God first, always.
Put God first, always. And that gets applied in a whole lot of ways. Or it doesn't. What else?
It shows your priorities. You know, if you prioritize going to, we talked about sports.
Right.
If you prioritize doing that or going to church, then.
Going to a Reds game. Going to a Dodgers game. Going to a Mets game. Going to a whatever game, right? And, I got tickets and it's behind home plate, but it's going to be Sunday morning. Well, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know, this is a great deal. And the kids think their priority is, hey, it's baseball. Because I can't pass that up. This is awesome. How do your kids know that you love God?
You talk about it at home.
You talk about God at home, not just at church.
Yeah, because you can go to church, every time the doors are open and go to every function, you know, talking about it in your home.
They expect that. They expect it at this building.
Yes.
But they should expect how what they see and hear and learn at this building gets applied at home. Yes.
Not only that, but like how you handle things that come up at home. You know, Do you fly off the handle, or do you maybe pray about it with your family? You know, just, you know, showing, are you leaning on God?
Yeah, absolutely. When things fall apart, getting everybody together and saying a prayer. Mm-hmm. Or when something really tough happens and they see you struggling, letting them know how you deal with that. Matt?
Oh, same idea with Dave. If you love your spouse, they can understand that you love God.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I'm saving that for next class. Number three, what daily actions between you and your children will help them know God loves them? Daily actions between you and your children will help them know God loves them.
Teaching your children to be thankful.
Say it again.
Teaching your children to be thankful.
Teach them to be thankful. Okay.
That everything comes from God.
Absolutely. Yes. What else?
There are Bible verses we can read them stating God's love. Kids love to read, and all you have to do is sit down and read to them.
Totally agree. Prayer. Every day. What else?
Have them write down, you know, what they prayed for, and then go back and be able to show them God has answered this in these different ways.
What they prayed for and God's answered prayers. Or their answered prayers from God. What else? Anything else?
I would just say an everyday conversation. I mean, it doesn't have to be a special moment or anything. Just let them know.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell them. Kind of back to what we're saying. How do they know you? You tell them, and it's the same way here, too. God loves you. John?
I guess what I'm thinking is you have to make God's presence known in the house. It can't just be... You have to make it real to them, if that makes sense. So I guess
the way
you talk about things and you say, you know, God's not pleased with that or things like that, and they have to understand that it's not like some fictitious thing that they're praying to. It's our loving Creator, and they have to make that. And I know that's kind of a deep thing, but I guess what I'm saying
is... It's a subconscious intent with how you go about it.
You know, make sure his presence is known in everything they do. That's what I'm saying.
So again, you know, that's the whole idea behind this exercise, is to try and get you to think, because we're going to run out of time, about the things that are important to have happen every day in your life, in the life between you and your spouse, and then how you interact with your kids. One of the other things that David said at the end of there, on page 3, it goes over to 5, and again, look through some of that material. If I'm short-tempered, irritable, discourteous, harsh, cruel, hostile, offensive, or resentful, it's a heart problem. God's not in me. Love's not in me. I've got to figure out how to fix those things. You know, I can say I love my wife all day long, but if those things are part of my character,